Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We thank you for listening to AFR. And Walker Wildman is not in the studio today. He's at the office, but he's in a meeting. He'll be on in the studio a little bit later on. If you listen every day, you know who Walker is. And I've known who Walker is for 23 years because he grew up in my house. But anyway, he'll be along in a few minutes. Walker will be handling our Facebook page today. That's one of his responsibilities. So we're going to be live video streaming this show on Facebook. We appreciate all those who listen and or watch on our Facebook page. You can go there also and access the stories that we're talking about and comment on the program. Dr. Ray Pritchard is with me from Dallas. Ray hosts on Tuesdays and Thursdays with us. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing pretty well. And in studio with me is Fred Jackson, Fred's news director for American Family News. And OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ray.
Fred, go ahead. Get us started on what's happening out there.
Well, Tim, we have a story meeting for this program every morning around 8 o'clock or shortly after. And I have to tell you right now, you're not aware of this. There's a bunch of new news since then coming out of the
last hour and a half.
Yes. So let's get right to it. Good news. The rain has ceased in most of Texas. That's a good thing. The sun is beginning to shine, a little bit more of dry weather coming in. But it's going to be weeks before the water goes down. But at least the rain has stopped in most of Texas. Still getting rain over in parts of southern Louisiana. In actual fact, that system, now it's died down a lot, Harvey, we're talking about. We even got some rain here in northern Mississippi. And it's now moving up into Kentucky and onwards. But let's go back to Texas right away. Now the assessment begins to come in on the extent of the damage to houses. The very, very early estimate, as of just a few moments ago, 37,000 homes, most of these in the Houston area, suffered major damage. 7,000 have been destroyed by Harvey and its flooding. So 7,000 gone completely. This is very initial, folks. And another 37,000 major damage probably means they can't be rebuilt. This is just the very, very initial estimate. So that's what? Do the math on that. 44,000 homes. This is just the first day.
And that number is bound to rise.
Oh, it's
yeah, as
it's,
the water continues to go down.
Absolutely. Now, let's move east a little bit. And we're talking about Port Arthur and Beaumont. Beaumont, Texas. They've lost water completely. They get water from a river nearby. They also has a secondary source, depend on a well. Both of those are knocked out. So now they're dealing with this problem. Nobody there, nobody in the city can get water. FEMA is doing its best to get supplies in using the military. But we just got news that Baptist Beaumont Hospital has 200 patients. They're having to get them out because they've got no water. So they're going to have to airlift these patients out of this Baptist Beaumont Hospital. So that operation is going to begin this morning. Again, this is all breaking news. I'm just giving to you as I'm the U.S. Navy announcing this morning it's sending two ships to provide humanitarian aid to areas affected by Harvey. They are moving out of Virginia this morning and going to head to the Gulf Coast. And they'll provide probably maybe some medical supplies, that sort of thing, other supplies from that, and perhaps take some homeless people aboard because we have seen that kind of thing before. And lest you think that what's going on in Texas and southern Louisiana doesn't affect you because you live in Virginia, think again. Colonial Pipeline says it plans to shut down a key line that supplies gasoline to the south due to storm-related refinery shutdowns and Harvey's effect on its facilities west of Lake Charles, Louisiana. The Georgia-based company said in a statement that it expects to shut off the line today, Thursday. The company had already closed down another line. The pipeline provides nearly 40% of the South's gasoline. Now, if you haven't noticed already, I've noticed here in northern Mississippi, gas prices have gone up at some stations 20 cents in the last 48 hours, 20 cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. So that's another major impact here.
Wow. And this is just a day or two. Again, it's still raining in Louisiana, so there's still flooding in those areas. But what you've decided there is the obviously the human aspect of all the homes that would have been destroyed and what are these people going to do, certainly. But the economic, the economic impact on the country.
Yes.
Because of what's happened in Louisiana and Texas. Fred just mentioned an oil pipeline.
This is a pipeline coming in.
Yeah. Right.
But the refineries aren't there to deal with it. The refineries are shut down.
You know, two quick points. Number one, I saw an estimate, and it's early yet, that the damage is going to reach at least $90 billion.
Yeah.
$90 billion, and probably going to go up from there. And just as a pure side note on this gas shortage, this morning, in fact, when we were doing the pre-programmed phone call, I was in my car. It took me an hour to find gas here in Dallas. The one station down the street from us, completely out of gas. The second place I went to, completely out of gas. The third place I went to, I found gas and long lines of cars. I haven't been in a situation like that in about 15 years. And this, of course, is the beginning of the Labor Day weekend, the last big travel weekend of the summer. You know, if you've got gas in your area, you better go fill up before the weekend comes, because there's a genuine shortage here in North Texas, and it's going to spread, at least, Fred, as you said, across the South.
Yeah, well, last night I noticed this, what you're talking about, I didn't experience what you experienced, that is gas stations without gasoline, but for the first time to fill up, it took me over $40.
Yeah.
And in a long time, so gas prices, I did notice the 20 cent
increase. You know, people, we think, oh, we've got months and months of gas. That's not true. If you just talk about what's actually in the pipelines or on the trucks on the way to the stations, it's only a few days worth. So if these refineries, and there's a bunch of them in the Gulf that are down, needing to be repaired because of Harvey, if they're shut down for more than just a few days, you're going to see two things. You're going to see gas prices spike way up, and there are going to be shortages that'll eventually spread across the country, because it's going to take a while to get those refineries back online and the oil flowing back in the right direction.
Okay, so that's the reason what you've got. You've got refineries. Well, you've got the oil rigs out in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know if they're reopened or not. Then you have the refineries all along the Gulf Coast from Louisiana, especially from, I guess, Louisiana over down to, I don't know where, in Galveston or somewhere like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So those have been damaged. Is that what you're saying? Or they're offline because of the pipes between them and where they go?
Well, they shut them down about 3 days before the hurricane arrived.
In
preparation, because they knew they can't operate. Sure. So they're shut down, not necessarily damaged, but they're not operating.
Gotcha.
Right, go ahead.
So really you got a situation where you have, in some cases, the rigs out in the Gulf are damaged. In some cases, as Fred said, they were just shut down as precautionary measure. Some places you've got problems inside the pipeline itself. So you kind of, it's like an ABC, and then it's D and E, all of the above. And so, as you said, Fred, say that again, that the company, one of those major oil shippers, is actually shutting down one of the major pipelines.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. It's Colonial Pipeline. They're based in Georgia. Said in a statement that expects to shut off the line Thursday. This is a line that goes to the refineries in Lake Charles, Louisiana. The company has already closed down another line. The pipeline provides nearly 40% of the South's gasoline.
Wow.
I assume, Ray, what's happening in Dallas, that you had a pile of people coming out of Houston in advance of the storm, so you've got all of these vehicles that have come into Dallas because a lot of people fled there and are going to stay there until they can go home again.
Well, and there's stories all over the news here in Dallas this morning about gas shortages, and I noticed on the internet that certain companies were saying, okay, They were actually putting up a map and saying, this station is out, this one is out, this one has a little, this one has a lot. So if this continues, you're going to see this spreading generally across the country.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to American Family Radio. You can check us out on our Facebook page where we're live video streaming the show. If you'd like to watch or listen there. And we also have an app for American Family Radio. An app for American Family Radio. You can get it on your phone or your iPad or similar type device and listen to AFR anywhere in the world. It takes you about 60 seconds or less to download the app and then listen to AFR anywhere you go, clear as a bell. Fred, what's the next story?
Well, also in Crosby, Texas, Houston area, chemical plant, there have been some explosions there overnight. Now, what's going on there? I'm not a chemist, but I just listened to one of the authorities for this company. These chemicals that they're storing to make various things need to be kept. The chemicals inside these containers need to be kept cold. If they're not kept cold, they become explosive with the heat. They've got about 9 containers at this one place. I think it's Arkema Inc. is the name of the company in Harris County. So they had 2 explosions. These containers exploded this morning. I guess a fortunate part of this is most of the neighborhood has already been evacuated because of the flood. But they're telling people not to come back now because it gives off a plume when they explode that can be very dangerous to your health. There are another 7 or 8 of these containers. The authorities are saying that likely before they can turn the air conditioning system back on because of the flooding, they're going to explode also. So that's going on. Another aspect.
Related to that, talking about safety issues here and things you don't necessarily think about. There were 2 men I read last night who passed away because their boat contacted a underground electrical. What? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Ray? You hear?
Yeah. There was some
a power line.
Hit a power line underwater. They didn't know anything about. Right. Electrocuted and gone.
How do you know? How do you? I guess the power company maybe could tell what lines are on and off. But I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That kind of thing you don't even think about much. But anyway, the safety and. You've also got the situation of, it's a wild, wild west in a lot of ways because you can't have enough policemen. Now, they have brought out the National Guard.
Yes.
To keep law and order. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking of law and order in times like this when highways have become waterways, you know, and people running around in boats. And you do have a lot of fraud going on. You've got a lot of people being misled, being lied to. Go ahead.
Fraud, you mentioned fraud. One of the things that FEMA was warning about this morning is that people have started to get robocalls from someone saying, these are people with flood insurance. Hey, your flood insurance is $200 in arrears, and unless you send us this money right away, we're going to cancel your flood insurance. And, of course, people in a panic might give their credit card number. So these are total frauds. FEMA says do not listen to them. Unless you talk to us, FEMA, or talk to your insurance company. But this is the kind of nonsense that's going on. It's despicable, but it's happening out there, and people need to be aware of it.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, if you're down in that area and somebody calls, especially if you're older, right, and you're already, and you're just a little uncertain and a little scared.
Yes.
Boy, this is like the New Testament, robbing widows' houses. This is despicable. But you can see how people would fall for that because they go, I can't dare lose my flood insurance. So they pay the money.
Yeah. You know, I wonder what percentage of those people even had flood insurance.
Well, this is, and FEMA's been dealing with this.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people. A lot of people dropped their flood insurance in the last couple of years because it's been, 91 before there was since there's been a bad flood in Texas in that area of Houston. I think it goes back to
90, what year it was.
91. And so a lot of people dropped it. It's getting too expensive. So they drop it. But there is help available, and FEMA was there is help available for those who may not have insurance. Now, is it enough to rebuild a house? I don't know. I mean, this story is going to continue to unfold. But
how do you get access to that?
You call FEMA.
Okay.
Yeah, there are people that in FEMA that are just, that's all they deal with is insurance. And obviously HUD is involved with this too. That's why Dr. Ben Carson, secretary, is involved with all of this. So, you know, now that story begins to unfold. As the danger of the flooding waters slowly will go away, all of these other stories are going to evolve, and we need to stay track of that. One other thing. We've heard of the stories now about Melania Trump when the president went down on, was it Tuesday? Stories out there about Melania Trump wore stilettos. All right. I think a lot of people have heard that story.
The high heel shoes. The high heel. For those who aren't into fashion.
Yeah. She wore them from the White House to Air Force One. When they got down, both the president and Melania were wearing running shoes when they got off the plane. All of that. I'm not sure how many of you out there buy things on Amazon. Probably quite a few of our listeners buy things on Amazon. Right. So you're on their emailing list.
Right.
I get an email this morning on my personal email list at home from Amazon. And it's linking me to a Washington Post story. Now, you should know the connection, folks. The owner of Amazon is Jeff Bezos. But he also owns the Washington Post. So, Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, is using Amazon's mailing list to send me a what he calls a newsletter. And it's a free newsletter. But it links to a story, a long Washington Post story, condemning Melania Trump for wearing stilettos in that initial part of their trip from the White House over to the Air
Force. Somebody picked that story out. This is 2-3 days later.
Yep.
Somebody picked that story out. Of course, what they're trying to insinuate here, well, the Amazon-Washington Post connection is one thing, but what the liberal media, Washington Post included, I guess, is trying to, what they're trying to say here is that Melania Trump is insensitive towards the people who've been affected by the flood because when she left the White House, she was wearing very expensive shoes. Yeah. That's the implication, you're right?
That's the implication.
And Ray, isn't that what America cares about right now?
That's exactly right. You know, is she wearing high heels or not? And isn't it true that by the time she got to Texas, when she got off the plane in Texas, she was wearing...
She's wearing running shoes.
Right.
As was the president. They showed their feet there this morning. You know, she had white running shoes on. He had dark running shoes. Anyway, Kellyanne Conway was asked about this this morning on Fox and Friends. I want to... she's a special advisor to the president. I want you to hear what she had to say about this nonsense of criticizing Melania Trump.
Yeah, predictable. Look, we saw what was in the president and the first lady's hearts that day, not what was on their feet. And it suggested to me that the left is really very worried that the president is successfully showing leadership and compassion and empathy and resolve and action. And by the way, she can wear whatever she wants. This is what cracks me up about the feminist. I'm a free thinker. I'm an independent. Nobody tells me what to do. They get upset if somebody says you're wearing a pretty dress or calls you honey. But they have judgment end on end. And the thing about the first lady that everyone should know is everyone looks at her and immediately sees, quite correctly, elegance, beauty, class. But they should also know she speaks five languages. She's brilliant. She's incredibly savvy.
Yeah, it's the liberal media and the left in this country. They got to have something. They got to have their daily dose of Trump bashing, right?
So, in this case, isn't it true that if this is the best they can do?
Right.
Then the president and first lady are doing just fine this week.
They're going to wait on mistakes will be made at some point because the job that before us here, before the federal government at least, and certainly the state governments of Louisiana and Texas are so huge that mistakes are going to be made along the way, and so the left's just waiting. They're waiting on the mistake to be made by somebody that works for the federal government, and then they're going to say, see, there, Trump hires incompetent. That's the next thing, Trump hires incompetent people. But you know, I think sometimes you can overplay your hand, and I think the liberal media, in many respects, are overplaying their hand with the Trump bashing when it's unfair. And to talk about the First Lady's shoes before she leaves, to go get on the airplane to go to Texas, and then to talk about that is somehow significant when people are in their home, losing their homes and having their lives turned upside down just seems ridiculous. But your point was, you're an Amazon, you use Amazon as almost every American does.
Yeah.
And in your inbox this morning, mm-hmm. you get a, because Amazon owns Washington Post, the newspaper.
Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, owns the Washington Post.
And it's a liberal newspaper. Now, they probably have conservative columnists. I'm sure they do. Charles Krauthammer, maybe, mm-hmm. and others who write for them. But you're saying he's doing cross-promotion.
He's using his Amazon email right. list.
Isn't that smart, though?
Yeah.
A businessman?
Yeah, here's one more thing, though.
Yeah.
He's saying, we're offering you this free newsletter.
Right.
But I have to opt out of it.
So they signed you up already.
They signed me up for a Washington Post newsletter. If I don't want to get it, I got to tell them.
Right.
I've got to write in and let them know I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's not an opt-in. It's an opt-out.
Right.
Which is why everybody's inboxes are so filled with junk. I mean, a lot of people do that, and it's irritating. And you say, "Well, I didn't sign up for this."
Oh yeah,
no, you didn't. But now you have to opt out, or you're going to get it every day.
That's a powerful tool for the owner of one of the most left-wing newspapers in the country. He has and owns the Amazon email list.
You know what? What you're talking about right there, Ray? Your inbox. I have one email address. And it's for the world to see, and I answer it. So nobody goes through my email. I go through my email now. So, and I've had this email. My wife Allison, God bless her, but she doesn't even get an email address. She just sends them to me. So she goes out to a department store and signs up for something. She puts my name. So
all right.
You can see what's happened to me.
Yeah,
I get 100 emails a day, mm-hmm. on average.
Right,
and I spend one. Last year, I think it was, I spent hour after hour after hour trying to clean up my inbox by hitting unsubscribes. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And only to learn, that Tim, when you hit unsubscribe, you're only confirming to the people that you really exist. And they may unsubscribe you if they're a legitimate company to theirs, but you've just been sold to five others. So I gave up. I just quit trying. So
plus Allison is going to keep adding you anyway.
I know.
So you'll never get a clean in.
I know. I know. And I know some people are thinking out there, well, Tim, that's easily solved. Just make you a new email address. And I guess I will do that at some point. But my email is like my phone number. So many people have it.
Right.
Yeah.
That right. I hate to. But anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, folks, many of you have asked, what is American Family Radio going to do to help in this effort for relief for the victims of the flood? We're going to do, there are many great organizations doing wonderful work in this area, but for our part, we are going to do a fundraiser next week for the 8 Days of Hope Ministry. So, AFR, we don't, we're in radio, but 8 Days of Hope is in relief and remodeling, rebuilding and those things like that. So they're going to be going to Houston, and 8 Days of Hope I'm talking about. And we've been working for them for 12 years now. They are all day long a trustworthy organization, and we know them. So if you're looking for a place to give your money, you want to make a contribution, but you want to be absolutely certain you can trust the organization, 8 Days of Hope is the organization. We're going to be doing a 2-day fundraiser, and everything that comes into AFR, we're turning around writing that check to 8 Days of Hope. We're not keeping any of that money. So I just want people to be aware that we are going to be doing that next week. We're going to take a break right here, and we'll be back with more in a minute.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I know the first time I ever went to Israel, you land there in Tel Aviv, you get off the plane, you get out on the bus, you start driving through the plains of Sharon outside of Tel Aviv, and you just pinch yourself and you just say, am I really here? Am I really in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible? Or was this just a fairy tale I read about as a child? No. It's a real place. The Bible is true historically and, as we know, spiritually. So if you want to join us on this trip to the place where you pinch yourself, we're going in March 8th through the 16th. All the information is available at the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a free brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES. Option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. There's a doozy of a story in the Bangor Daily News by reporter Alex Aquisto. Dateline Hope, Maine. Rachel Borch was jogging on a wooded trail near her home when she was attacked by a rabid raccoon. Miss Borch said the animal lunged out of the woods, bit her finger. Furry little critter wouldn't let go. Said it was like fighting the Tasmanian devil. Soon her survival instinct kicked in. Rachel figured it was either her or the raccoon. So she plunged the wild beast into a mud puddle and strangled it with her bare hands. In other words, she waterboarded the raccoon. Miss Rachel was somewhat distraught because it turns out she's a vegetarian. But in fairness, it was self-defense. After 6 doses of rabies vaccine, Miss Rachel is on the mend and has one mighty great story to tell. A real-life version of Pet Cemetery. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to American Family Radio. You're listening to the program Today's Issues on AFR. We're here every Monday through Friday. I'm Tim Wildman, and Dr. Ray Pritchard's on the phone with us from Dallas. Ray co-hosts Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Fred Jackson is in with me, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Walker is still in a meeting, or so he says, so that's why he's not in studio with us, but he's managing our Facebook page. And so if you want to watch the show live on our Today's Issues Facebook page, you can do there. You can also comment on the program. Our apologies if we don't get, you know, if we don't answer all your questions immediately. But Walker, try to get to those a little bit later on. I mentioned earlier before the break, next week we will be on the air and raising money at least a couple of days for the 8 Days of Hope Ministry, which is our partner in reaching the people that have been victims of the hurricane. So we don't normally go on the air raising money for anything other than, maybe a couple, 3 things a year that we talk about, India Partners and other things. We have our share-a-thons twice a year, but there's such great need, and 8 Days of Hope, such a worthy organization, and people listen to us, and they trust American Family Radio to know where we recommend people give a donation that they absolutely sure can be used to help the people. And also, 8 Days of Hope is a distinctively Christian organization. They're going to do what they do in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what motivates them to help others. So that's coming up next week. If you're wanting to know where can I make a donation to help the people, and I can be assured that it will be used in a proper way, and it will be also proclaim the gospel of Christ. Now, joining us from Twin Cities, as she does every Thursday, that we can, that she can, and that is Jan Markell with Olive Tree Ministries. And Jan has a radio program heard nationwide on other stations besides AFR, but she's heard on all of our radio stations with the program Understanding of the Times, which airs on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday is noon Central Time on American Family Radio. What time Saturday, Jan?
1 p.m. Central.
1 p.m. Central. And Jan gets a lot of great response from you, our listeners, to her program on AFR. Good morning, Jan. How are you today?
Well, we're doing well up here. Fall is starting to make an impression.
Yeah, it's beautiful in Minnesota in the fall. Fred had a question for you. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, one of the news stories this weekend, there are a lot of news stories that have had to be pushed down the road because of what's happening in Texas, Louisiana, because of Harvey. But one of the things out of Israel this week was very interesting. Prime Minister Netanyahu went into one of the settlements on the West Bank, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing only to a certain extent here, he called it, you know, this is Judea and Samaria, the biblical names for that area. And he said, we are here for eternity. Well, the left went ballistic over that. But you know what? Prime Minister Netanyahu knows his Old Testament. I think he knows his New Testament, too.
Well, I'm just glad that Prime Minister Netanyahu is actually in office. He's been in office, I think, longer than just about any other prime minister. I think God is honoring him. He is a man of the Bible. Not saying he's a Christian, but he's certainly a man who respects the Bible. And because of that, he knows there's a covenant that God has with Israel and the Jewish people, and that involves the land. And he knows it's everlasting. So I think I even talked with Chad Groning on this yesterday, perhaps on air with you folks. So, I mean, to me, this is wonderfully encouraging when I hear talk like this. But believe me, gentlemen, there's an Israeli left, just like there's an American left, and they can't stand this kind of talk because they're all about we've got to have a two-state solution, which is a final solution. And they're all about the things that leftists are about everywhere else in the world, and none of it promotes stability.
Jan, I'm always amazed, when you mentioned the left part of the Jewish population, because they have advocated through the years, if we just give the Palestinians a little bit more, they'll be satisfied. And this is why when you look at a map of Israel today, it's chopped up. It looks like you know, people have torn little pieces of paper out of a block of paper. But, you know, the reality is the Palestinians, they're never going to be satisfied.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In 2000, there was the meeting at Camp David, Bill Clinton, Ehud Barak, and Yasser Arafat. And Arafat made demands at that meeting. And Ehud Barak, prime minister then of Israel, turned around and said, we'll give you 95% of what you're asking for. There were some things that weren't possible. But 95% of what you want, we're going to give you. And Arafat said, well, nope, I'm going to go back to the Palestinian territories. I'm going to stir up the second intifada, which was in 2000. And you cannot please a community, excuse me here, that really wants war. They don't want peace. Honestly, they don't. And I think that's one of the biggest delusions that swept the world in the last 20 years, perhaps, that if Israel would only cooperate and offer peace, the Palestinians would leap at it and accept it. But they won't. They want war. Comes out of Psalm 83, come, let us wipe out the very memory of Israel's existence. And that is the sentiment of most of the, certainly all Palestinian leaders, and certainly a good deal of Palestinian people.
Jan, who are you going to be talking to this week on your program?
I'm going to be running a conference message from 2016. Amir Sarfati, who is an Israeli, he's a kind of, well, he's a Bible prophecy teacher, one of the best out there. We're going to run a message, Europe Ready for the Antichrist. This is a 2016 message. He'll be with me this year, 2017, October 7th, here in Minneapolis. A lot of AFR people come up for this, so always look forward to meeting them.
Okay, so you've got your conference, your free conference coming up. Tell us when and where again exactly, who the speakers are going to be.
It is Saturday, October the 7th, right outside of Minneapolis, and it includes Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Amir Sarfati, and Calvary Chapel Pastor J.D. Farag, who's an Arab, Arab who loves the Jews and loves Bible prophecy and the topics we often talk about. Go on my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Just go to the conference page and most of the answers to questions. Otherwise, call us anytime, Monday through Friday. We're here to help you.
Olivetreeviews, V-I-E-W-S.org is Jan's
Correct.
Website. Thank you, Jan. Take care, and we
thank
look
you.
Forward to talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That's Jan Markell. By the way, we're going to be joined with Dr. Alex McFarland in just a few minutes, and I got a doozy question for Alex. I'm not even going to tip y'all off on what the question is.
Does Alex know it's coming?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, good.
It'll be doozy for him too.
Stay tuned, folks.
With Alex, though, like you, Ray, probably when you're a Bible teacher.
I don't think we're going to catch him too much.
No, he's heard all the questions before, so it won't be the first time he's heard the question I'm going to ask him. But at the same time, it's a question that a lot of people have, especially the world sometimes looks in at what's happening, and they say, when disasters happen, why? We're going to ask Alex to comment on that in a few minutes. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. What's your next story there?
Well, a federal judge yesterday giving a temporary block to a law that was supposed to take effect in Texas tomorrow, sanctuary cities law, basically. And it would allow police officers to ask people during a routine stop whether they're in the U.S. legally and threaten sheriffs with jail time for not cooperating with federal immigration authorities. I think everybody knows what a sanctuary city is. If not, basically, it's a city that's, when it has illegals in their custody or they stop them, the federal government should be made aware that they have people in the country illegally. You have sanctuary cities like Chicago, San Francisco, almost all of California, I think.
Well, in Texas, which is where this law was enacted by the state legislature in
Correct.
Texas.
It's been passed.
Signed by the governor.
Yes.
It's about to go into effect. And I think it deals with four or five major cities in Texas to make them comply with work with the federal government when you're talking about illegals.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about here. But the federal judge blocked the law, at least temporarily, from going into effect.
That's correct. U.S. District Judge Orlando Garcia, Bill Clinton appointee, by the way, he issued this 92-page ruling yesterday, but it picked out one thing in his ruling, in his reasoning.
Yeah, and I brace yourself, folks, because what Fred's about to talk about is what we've been talking about for decades now in terms of liberal judges who make law based on their own feelings rather than ruling on the constitutionality of such. Go ahead, Fred.
This is what this judge Garcia said in his ruling. The judge noted that when it was being considered, the law, by the legislature, only 8 people testified in favor of it, while 1,600 showed up to oppose it. He also wrote there, quote, is overwhelming evidence by local officials, including law enforcement, that SB4, the law, will erode public trust and make many communities and neighborhoods less safe. So, you have a federal judge.
How can you overturn it on that basis, Fred? I mean.
Yeah, we're not, he's no constitutional arguments here.
Right.
He's
right.
Saying there was a whole bunch of people showed up, didn't like it. Therefore, I don't think I like this law either. Now, Ray and Tim, remember when in this country where there were amendments. What, 30 states passed amendments?
It's more than 30, but go ahead.
Yeah. Passed amendments saying we want biblical marriage. We don't want homosexual marriage.
Marriage between a man and a woman.
Yep. So we're talking millions and millions and millions of Americans.
Voted for that.
Don't want homosexual marriage.
Right.
A Supreme Court said, basically, we don't care what millions of Americans think. So Supreme Court said, we're not going to listen to the vast majority. We're just going to go ahead and rule. This judge says, there were more people that showed up during the legislative sessions to say they don't like it. Therefore, you know what? And by the way, there are a lot of people, this might undermine the trust people have in police forces.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
What's the judge's name?
This judge's name is Orlando Garcia.
Federal judge appointed by Bill Clinton. And basically, again, here we have a great example. By the way, this will go up to a federal appellate court. This is dangerous. Again, we've mentioned this before. When whether you're a liberal or conservative, a Democrat, Republican, whatever, you should be worried. You may like this ruling if you're a liberal, but you should be worried about the reasoning that the judge uses to come to that conclusion, because that can just as easily, it could just as easily be turned against you. The judge is saying one of the aspects of his ruling is how many people showed up at a meeting or a hearing, and that determines whether I like the law or not, or don't like the law, and I'm going to strike it down or I'm going to postpone it or whatever. You don't even have to go to law school to do that.
Right.
Do you, Ray? You just got to count.
You don't make any appeal to the Constitution. Right. You're not making an appeal to precedent. You're not making an appeal to, say, the development of case law. You're just saying a whole lot more people were against this than for this. So I'm going to strike this down.
Where does this go next, by the way?
Well, this would go. This is a federal judge. We'll go to the Fifth Circuit.
Is Fifth Circuit Texas? Do you know, Ray?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe Texas is split up on that. I'm not sure. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is one of the most conservative, if not the most conservative Court of Appeals, based in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth Circuit covers four or five different states. We'll see what happens with that. But again, just to point out, and once you get a federal judge seated, he is a little god. All right. He is going nowhere. You might get a federal judge impeached if you murdered somebody on the court lawn, but the video cameras would have to be rolling. It wouldn't be able to be just a testimony that he shot somebody. I'm using that exaggerated situation just to make a point that federal judges are there for life, and so it matters who the president is. If President Obama was in for 8 years, he appointed far left judges that'll be there for life on the federal bench.
Hundreds of them.
Yes, and so now President Trump gets a chance to appoint his kind of judges to the federal bench. Had you had another 4 to 8 years of secular progressives being appointed to the bench by Hillary Clinton, consequences would have been devastating for religious freedom, and I'm convinced Christian groups and organizations would have been targets of lawsuits and such, that judges would have said something like this: I don't like them, therefore they're guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Alex McFarland is co-host of the radio program Exploring the Word each weekday afternoon here on American Family Radio with Brother Bert Harper, and they go through the Word of God, which is the Bible, and study it there. And so we have a Bible study on the air here on American Family Radio each in the middle of your afternoons, and Alex joins us now. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you all doing?
Doing well. And where are you traveling today, or where?
Well, I'm back on home turf in North Carolina. I've been on the road a little bit, and, you know, always listening to you guys is such a blessing. I appreciate the insights and the wisdom you all bring. I don't know if you've addressed this. Let me throw something out here. Did you see over the weekend there was a press release from the Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, the Nashville statement on human sexuality, gender, and marriage,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of our friends and colleagues like James Dobson signed it. Have you guys?
Yes, we're familiar with it. We haven't talked about it much here on this program, but yes, we're familiar with it.
Let me give a little backstory quickly, if I may, because this is important. When I was in graduate school at Liberty University, Dr. Falwell, Jerry Falwell, who was living at that time, great Christian leader, made us aware of the formation of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And a lot of great people were involved, like Dr. Dobson and Kay Arthur and a lot of great people. And they made a statement on biblical sexuality, and a lot of us signed it. And as a grad student 25 years ago, I signed the Danvers Statement on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And over the years, they have consistently stood for biblical truth. And recently, they issued a 14-point manifesto that I read and signed, and it's come to be known as the Nashville Statement. And it says marriage is between a man and a woman, and we, both natural law and scripture, would stand against the idea that you can change your gender. So it's a good thing. And let me just say, not only as a scholar, but as a pastor, I know that same-sex attraction and gender confusion is always the result of abuse. Always. I've counseled hundreds of people, and as our culture has promoted homosexuality and transgenderism, what all these Hollywood celebrities and lefties may not realize is they're contributing to the harm of people, because homosexuality, transgenderism is all about abuse. It really is, and it contributes to the destruction of people's body, if not soul. All of that to say this, MSN, regarding the Nashville Statement by the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, comes out with a headline this morning, 150 religious leaders sign anti-gay manifesto. So it's not just anti-gay. What we are pro the welfare of people, spiritually and physically. But your listeners, I'm sure many are probably aware of this, but I wanted to make them aware because the Nashville Statement is a good statement, and Christians should know about it.
You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Dr. Alex McFarland joining us. Alex, I've got a question for you. I wrote a column about this yesterday, and volumes have been written about this question over the ages. But when you look at the disaster, when we have something happen like what happened with the hurricane, and see how many people have been had their lives turned upside down there in Houston and surrounding areas, and now in Louisiana, how do you answer the question if God loves people, why does He allow these things to happen to the people that the Bible says He loves? Again, I know that's been a question of the ages, but still, I know some people use that question to mock us. You know, they're not really interested in a serious answer or discussing the Lord or God or the Bible. They just want to poke at Christians and say, ha, see there, you believe in God and He doesn't do anything to help or to prevent this from happening. But how does a Christian, let's just say, process that question?
Well, great question. And, you know, people even ask in Jesus' time. I think about in John chapter 9, people ask, why was a man born blind? And in Luke 13, they ask, why did a tower fall on some people? And there are a number of things that need to be said in relation to this question, because we always ask why, you know, whether it's the flooding in Texas, or, you know, Hurricane Katrina and cancer, you know, all these things, why? We've got to remember that this world is not heaven. This world is a world, yes, of God's love and God's grace, but this is a fallen world, and it's a world in the process of being rebuilt. You know, in Revelation 21:5, God promised that one day He would make all things new. And Tim, I would say that the pain that we experience in this life, it's not indicator that there's no God or not a loving God, but all of these things to me are just illustrative of how much we really do need the Lord. We need God to save us. We need God to provide and protect us. And And really, God is our sanctuary and our comfort. If there were no God, an atheist looks at the Texas flooding and says, ah, there must not be a God because this is bad. Well, in a world without God, there's no good or bad. There's just stuff. In fact, the flooding, the dying and the pain and the natural selection, this is exactly what a godless Darwinian world would predict. But we've got an empty tomb. We've got a risen Savior. We've got, by the way, the fact that, did you see the lady singing the gospel song and
yes,
in a shelter, and it mm-hmm. in 24 hours got 7 million shares? All of this really is unique to the Christian faith, that out of tragedy, good things come. God does show himself faithful. People yeah. rise to the occasion. And these tragedies show us how much we need God and how our God is powerful enough to bring joy yeah. out of sorrow.
Hey, Ray, what Alex is talking about there, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left here to the top of the hour. Ray, I know you've taught on this question a lot yourself. I was reading from John yesterday where Jesus says, paraphrasing here, but I've almost got it verbatim, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. Rejoice, for I have overcome the world. So in this world which we live now, we will have tragedy, we will have sickness, we will have disease, we'll have pain. Of course, we also have a lot of joy. We have a lot of good things happen too. We can celebrate. But this is, as Frank Turek said last week, Ray, this is not heaven.
We're not there yet, are
right,
we?
Right, right.
I mean, we see all this happening down in the Gulf. Alex, is there a sense in which a tragedy like this is, at least in part, I mean, God's ways are way beyond ours, in part that a tragedy like this is meant to turn us as a nation or as individuals back to the Lord?
If we are wise, it would. Because, you know, we say, you know, why, God, why? Why was there a flood? But we never say, God, why do you bless us? Why do you prosper us in spite of the fact that we're such a carnal, sinful, apostate nation? You know, really, and I don't mean to be, you know, piling on here, but given the deplorable state of our soul as a nation, I think we ought to get on our face and praise God that we haven't been judged and punished and reprimanded even farther. Because, you know, the Bible says, so much is given, much is required. There's never been a nation as prosperous and as blessed as America, and yet we have rejected God, and I do think this, if we are wise, this would be a time to pause and say, Lord, you've been really good to us. Lord, help us turn back to you. And my prayer is that coming out of the church, out of the body of Christ, and out of the hearts and minds of people everywhere, we would turn to God and say, Lord, we need you. We need you in the good times. We need you at all times, we certainly need God in these tough times.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. By the way, Fred and I were looking at the screen here. We have a tornado warning now out for where we live here. So that's just been announced in the Tupelo, Mississippi area. All right, we're going to take a break right here. Hopefully Fred and I will be back in 5 minutes. But anyway, we will see you back here in 5 minutes with more of today's issues. Our thanks to Dr. Alex McFarland. Thank you, Alex, brother.
Thank you all.
And join Alex this afternoon, 3:05 Central Time, with Brother Bert Harper for Exploring the Word. And Ray will stay with us. Ray, we'll be back in 5 minutes. You'll be there, right?
I'll be here. It's all clear here in Dallas.
Okay. All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.